We are
that
church. We are one congregation of that church of Jesus Christ. God is calling us to be His church in this world. But let's think about that for just a moment. This world. Thursday will be the 13th anniversary of what has become famously known as 9/11. Almost 3,000 people killed in a terrorist attack in New York City and Washington, D.C. Since then, over 6,000 U.S. troops killed in 10 years from 2001 to 2011 in Iraq and Afghanistan. This year, a new outbreak of war in a new way in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, a terrorist group killing thousands. War in Ukraine, and what seems to be a resurrection of the old USSR attempt. 300 little girls kidnapped in Nigeria to be sold as property. Refugee children from Central America pouring into our borders. Israel and Palestine at it again, still in Gaza. Outbreak of Ebola and the threat of a worldwide pandemic. Racial tensions reignited in Ferguson, Missouri. A baffling tension between law enforcement and citizens. A crazy mixture. We want law enforcement to enforce the law and protect us and fight crime, but not too much. Growing tensions between government officials and people. Is there any hope? Listen to this word. The Holy Spirit inspiring the Apostle Paul in a letter to the church in Ephesus and now to us today. Wow. Listen to it. God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ. A plan to fulfill His good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. So, friend, is there hope? That's not just a one-time claim. It's an Old Testament claim also, from the Psalms. Psalm 22, the whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. For royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Wow. Go back to slide one, please. I'm jumping all around. I appreciate our projection people. They just, I love them. Ben and the worship team, I changed same things this morning. You see, late this summer, middle summer, I introduced five transforming truths, and I've been talking about them this summer. God loves you. God has a purpose. Oh, God has a standard for us. It's in Jesus. And he births his life in us through our faith in Jesus as Lord. Now, here's the fifth truth. God calls us to be his church. I wonder what would happen if we would grasp these. How are you doing at living these truths? I didn't say, are you doing telling others? I asked you, how are you doing living these truths? How's it going? What would happen if we grasped them and lived them? You see, that statement that God sends us about Jesus, God bring about his plan to bring everything into unity under Jesus, he's doing it through his church. Not through governments, not through military. Through his church. We're getting stories in the middle of these very troubled areas of the world. Christians doing their work. Christians influencing people. The church of Jesus. God calls us to be his church in this world, a community of believers who minister to one another, a community of saints carrying out the mission of Jesus in this world. Now, I need to apologize. Some of those don't come through real strong. On my computer, this format worked absolutely beautiful. And that's a bright orange. Now, you got that? Bright orange. It just jumps out of the screen at you. And somehow through the system, it comes out a bland yellow. So if you'll just sort of bear with us, we'll get through this. Thank you so very, very much. Let's talk about this truth. God calls us to be his church in this very troubled world. It's scary. It is scary. What is the church? The word translated church is simply a word that means assembly of people who have been called out. So when Jesus is building his church, he's gathering an assembly of people who respond to the call of God to faith in Jesus as Lord. It's a kingdom that permeates the boundaries of every nation on the face of earth. Jesus promises to come again, but first he wants that gospel preached to literally every nation and people in the world. But that also means people around us. There's a large percentage of people right here in this United States with the history that we have that don't know the first thing about Jesus. This church is portrayed as the family of God, a living temple, a nation of priests, the army of God, the body of Christ. Friends, I want you to know something. In spite of what you've heard said by fearing people that don't have faith in Christ, and some are even in the church, but they've lost the word. The church is alive, and it is strong in this world. Listen long enough, you'll hear people saying, the church is dead, the church is dying. Oh, it's going to hell in a handbasket. No, it's not. Jesus said he was going to build his church. And we have a choice to decide whether to be a part of that one or do something else. Friends, God's church is going to thrive eternally. Read your history books. God has always had a people in the middle of this world. That's where the hope of the world lies. New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene, we need to understand that. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not conquer it. The Apostle Paul, speaking of pastors and elders of the churches of Ephesus, Acts chapter 20, says, God bought the church with his own blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. We belong to God. Think of it. New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene. God bought us. So who do we belong to? Oh, there's a sense in which this church is my church. I identify with it. It's a sense in which this church is our church. And we all sort of identify with it. And there's things we can criticize, and there's things we like about it. But here's what it really is. We belong to God. He's birthed his life in us by the Holy Spirit. He's adopted us as his children. And he has made us citizens of his kingdom. So what would happen if we really understood this, believed it, grasped it? What would happen? That sort of brings us to this. I'm not going to take time to read it again. This is the big picture. We are part of God's phenomenal movement in our world. God is fulfilling his royal plan. Now, you need to understand something. God's church lives as communities of faith. They're also known as congregations, local churches. That's how God works. Whether that church meets in a house or a church like this, or a huge temple or a beautiful cathedral, God's church. God's church. It lives today as a community. So I want to think about this call to be his church. A community of believers who minister to one another, a community of saints carrying out the mission of Jesus in this world. Let's look about the first one. A community of believers building one another up in their faith in Jesus. The letter to the Ephesians also. Now, these are the gifts God gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. We usually refer to these as the ordained ministry, right? They aren't the ministers. One writer said, they are part of the baptized called out from the congregation of the baptized to lead the baptized in the ministry of Jesus to the world. And here is the task of that ordained ministry. Equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We have a responsibility of building one another up. How do we keep our hope? How do we keep focused? We build one another up. How do we grow and mature in the Lord and become like Jesus? We keep building one another up within the church. What have you done this week to build one another up? Come on. What did you do this week to build one another up? That's a big question. Building one another up until we all reach unity in the faith in Christ. Building one another up. Oh, there's designated ministries within the church. Teachers, worship leaders, leadership team. We call them board, church board. Big responsibility. We have other teams, hosts, ushers, nursery, projection teams, sound system, all of that kind of stuff. But there's also general roles of ministry, opportunities for every one of us, deeds of kindness, building one another up, and maybe a meal, a helping hand, coming alongside, praying for one another. Did you spend as much time praying for one another as you did maybe criticizing and grumbling? Encouraging one another. What did you do to encourage someone? In the letter to the Hebrews, we're called to encourage one another daily. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 10, verse 25. Build one another up. Our board of stewards has been encouraging us lately. Is there someone that you're missing? Oh, maybe you can ask someone else, but when you ask someone else about them, have you seen? Make a contact, a phone call, a note in the mail. Tell that person you miss them. Financial giving. We're all called to be tithing, giving on a regular basis. Wow. We're the community of believers building one another. But we're also community of saints. Advancing the mission of Jesus in our world. I'm just going to look at two aspects of that. Reconciling sinners with Christ. Reconciling people with one another. Dave read about the aspect of reconciling people with God. Jesus came to save lost people. Until they've come to faith in Christ, the scripture says they're lost. Reconciling lost people with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The Apostle Paul to his student Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinner. Listen to the angels making the announcement of the birth of Jesus to Joseph. You're to name him Jesus. Why? Because he will save the people from their sins. The angels announcing the birth of Jesus to shepherds on a hillside. To you today is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. John the Baptist, observing Jesus at a distance, said to some of his followers, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Of course, then there's statements of Jesus about himself. "I came into the world not to judge, but to save." John chapter 3, 17, chapter 12, verse 47. And the close of that story that Dave read a little bit. "I came to save lost people." People like Zacchaeus, who was hated, despised. When Jesus entered Jericho, he didn't spend time with the good righteous. He went to spend time with the sinner. Oh, Jesus spent a lot of time in the temple worshiping. He spent time in the synagogues teaching and doing what we call Bible study. He met in people's homes and taught them about the scriptures called Bible studies. But he also spent time with people in the world like Zacchaeus, a man who was a tax collector, A Jew working for the Romans, assessing taxes and given total license to make whatever assessment he did on goods and whatever excess he made over his required amount to give to the Roman officials, he got to keep for himself. And the tax collectors were notoriously rich. And Jesus went to spend time with him. And by the end, the man had changed his tune and became a follower of Jesus. Wow. And now Jesus says to us, you make disciples everywhere you go, everything you do, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, immersing them in Jesus, teaching them everything Jesus taught you. Wow. We are called to be a part of that mission, introducing people to Jesus. But as we talk about reconciling people with God, we also have a responsibility of reconciling people with one another. Listen again to Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. What did Jesus identify as the new commandment? The second of the call, the commands? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Jesus' major message was, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Live it. There's the way of hope. We don't make Christians with guns or with policies or with government officials or replacing all the teachers. We advance the kingdom by radiating God's love where we're at in our world. Think about this instruction of the Apostle Paul to Christians at Colossae. Put on your new nature. Put it on. As Christians, put it on. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. And since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Do we believe that? And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. I've got a question for you. What's ruling in your heart this week? Frustration? Fear? Angst? Anxiety? Or the peace of Christ? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Came across an interesting paragraph. Christianity Today. The article is titled, God Hasn't Given Up on Reconciliation. The writer says, and yet I believe that the God who prayed that we all might be one, the God who sent His Spirit to minister healing and reconciliation among us, the God who offers us a vision of common humanity, giving and receiving to and from one another without judgment, without division, with love. I believe that God has not given up. And I am reminded, when all human efforts fail, God remains faithful. Got that one? I don't know who Amy is, but we can join with her on that one. God remains faithful. I am reminded that when policy fails to transform, prayer and people keep doing the work of the Spirit. The kingdom continues to come here on earth, if only in flashes and whispers. I am reminded that prayer and people anchor my hope for change. What do you think? God is transforming us to be His church in this world today. A community of believers building one another up within the church. A community of saints carrying out the mission of Jesus in our world. Reconciling sinners with God. Reconciling people with one another. I really wonder what would happen if we grasped, lived, and shared this call of God. I wonder what would happen.